Good to see you all here this morning, and it is good to be with you all. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Perhaps most of us are familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But today we want to look at what brings us to 5 and 6. So Proverbs chapter 3, in the first four verses. God's word says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this chance to be together this morning, and thankful that you have seen fit to meet us here. We pray that you would speak to us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be effective in working in our hearts to bring us ever mindful of righteousness and that mindset where we would want to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for who you are, as you are awesome and powerful and greatly to be praised. We trust that you will speak to us in our time here. Father, you do have much to say, and we have oh so much to hear. We thank you, and we do love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was an actor by the name of Edwin Thomas. Edwin was his first name. Thomas was his middle name. And at the age of 15, he had this tremendous opportunity to take the stage and to portray one of the actors of Shakespearean work. And his efforts were so tremendous that at the age of 15, his career just took off. He was able to then travel, see different parts of the country, parts of the world, as this tremendous actor, this prodigy of a sort. And he came from a family of actors. And Edwin had a younger brother named John. And John was probably more famous than his brother Edwin. They were both actors. But John's middle name was Wilkes. And for those of you who know history, John Wilkes Booth assassinated President Abraham Lincoln. And some say that John Wilkes' greatest role was that of an assassinator. And because of the effect or the works of the younger brother John, Edwin suffered this stigma the rest of his life. See, Edwin had worked hard to carry on the family tradition, the family name, that of great actors. But John had brought the family shame by his one act of brutality. So this morning, I'd like for us to think about this idea of building the family name. Building the family name. We have two brothers here, Edwin, John. Edwin was positively about building up the family name. And as we mentioned, by one act of brutality, John had brought shame, had really brought destruction to the family name. So as we think about this idea of building the family name, think about where you may be in building up the name of this family of believers. Are you about building up the family name, or are you about tearing down the family name? Let's look at then these first four verses of Proverbs chapter 3. And by way of outline, we want to think of really kind of four points, and they'll each come from these verses. But first of all, we want to think of the plan. You know, every building, every project has a plan. The next thing we want to consider is the process. How do we go about following the plan? And then we want to think about the materials. What products will we use in the process of fulfilling the plan? And then finally, we want to think about the inspection. Every product must be inspected before its use, whether it's a building, whether it's a meal, whether it's a article of clothing, maybe it's a paper, something for school, homework, something like that. Everything must be inspected before it's turned over for its use. So we want to think about the plan, the process, the products, the material, and then finally the inspection. I know they should all begin with P, but I just couldn't really come up with one P for that last one. And if you come up with one, let me know, because that would help a brother out over here, let me tell you. All right. Well, verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." We want to think about the plan here. And this idea of, or the title of this message, building the family name, comes from this very first phrase, "my son." My son. Solomon is addressing his son. And in the original, that word son literally means building the family name. Building the family name. Now, Solomon did have a son. He had several sons of his rather infinitely numbered wives. And not that Scripture bears out the fact that it's Rehoboam whom Solomon is addressing. In my mind, I like to think that perhaps Solomon is addressing his son Rehoboam. And as we read Scripture, we know that Rehoboam came to the throne after Solomon's death, and Rehoboam was just one who did not build the family name. Was very quickly tarnished, and really bringing shame to the legacy that David and Solomon somewhat had endeavored to preserve. Rehoboam was not one who really listened or remembered his father's teaching. But regardless, we want to note here that that there is a plan. Solomon does lay out the plan, and he says two things: don't forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. There's two things here. Don't forget my teaching. And the idea of that is that to leave something behind, to literally let go of something unto which you were holding. Solomon says, do not forget my teaching and keep my commandments. Now, these commandments, we see Solomon saying my and thinking of that possessive pronoun, but it's really, they're coming from the Lord. They're really coming from the Lord. They are Solomon's to pass on, but Solomon's receiving them from the Lord. So we want to kind of think of these teachings and commandments as coming from the Lord himself. So Solomon says, look, don't let go of what I've taught you and hold on to what I have commanded you. Let's talk for a minute about this idea of the difference between teaching and commandments. You know, we can kind of mush them together and think that, well, they're really kind of sort of the same thing. But they're really not. They're two separate things, and we would do well to kind of understand that. When Solomon uses this word teaching, it's this idea of instruction. This, we could call it the method. So when he's laying out this plan for building the family name, when he's laying out this plan, he's telling his listener, whomever that may be, including us, that there is a way, there's a method to which this should be carried out. And then when he talks about the word commandment, the idea here is that of a boundary, that of a boundary. So we think of the plan having a boundary, but then we also think of the plan as having a proper method for completion. A proper method for completion. So in this idea of building the family name, there is a specific plan. There is a specific goal. There is a specific destination. There is an ideal. There's a boundary that has been established. And, you know, God is so so great that he just doesn't leave how that is accomplished up to our imagination or our inventiveness or just our way. I so appreciated this morning some of the thoughts that were shared at the time of remembrance in the idea that the Lord Jesus did not operate in a cavalier manner. You know, he operated within the boundary, within the framework that the Father had laid down. There was no yeah, but in Jesus' life. Think about that. The Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus did all things that pleased the Father. All things that please the Father. This past Friday evening, we at Cheshire, we have a kids program on Friday night. And this past Friday night, we were looking at the account of the crucifixion and that specific time when the Lord Jesus was, we like to think perhaps Hollywood has helped us with this, but the Lord Jesus was laid on the ground on the cross and the nails, the spikes being driven into his body. And what does he do? He prays to the Father. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They do not know what they are doing. And it so struck me that the Father, God the Father, God the Son, being in communion, the Son doing all things that please the Father, that the Son was compelled to pray for those who were executing him. Imagine that. The Son praying to the Father for those who were executing him. And the Father willingly forgiving those who were executing his Son. There was no argument. There was no disagreement. There was a meeting together. The Son doing all things that please the Father. So back to our thought in Proverbs here, that within this plan that Solomon has laid out, that idea of teaching and commandments, there was no room for freelance. There was no room for improvisation. There's a very specific guideline that's carried out. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we can see a nice example of this idea of teaching and commandment. Matthew chapter 5. Remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount, as scholars like to refer to it. It's this time where Jesus is teaching believers, really. It's not so much an evangelistic message as it is a message of edification. So Matthew chapter 5, and then look over in verse 43. We have this idea of teaching and commandment. We have the commandment first. We have the establishment of the boundary, right? Verse 43. You have heard, and this is Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So love your neighbor. That's the commandment that we want to key in on. Remember, that's one of the ten, right? Love your neighbor as you see fit. Love your neighbor as it's convenient. No, love your neighbor as yourself. And then verse 44, But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so here's kind of the teaching, right? For if, previously he said pray for them. So that's part of the method. The boundary is to love your neighbor. So how do you do that? It's really answering the so what. And I love this because in this passage, we get the so what, yeah, but, and now what? I just love that, how the Lord brings that out. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So he's giving us the commandment to love your neighbor, but he's telling us how to do that, to pray for them, to go out of our way to be gracious to them, be merciful to them. And so Solomon then in Proverbs 3 says, don't leave behind, don't let go of the method. Don't let go of the teaching. Hold on to the boundary. You know, on one hand, you hold on to the method, and on the other hand, you hold on to the boundary. You hold on to the boundary. In our plan in building the family name, are we aware of where we're going, and more importantly, how we're going to get there? Are we aware of building the family name by our actions and by our attitudes? And we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But are we aware of consciously building the family name? And are we aware of how we're going to do that? As we interact with our family, and by the way, that's one of the things that I so appreciate about you folks here, is that you do act like a family. You know, you're genuinely, there's a genuine care and concern for the well-being of each other, and not necessarily just from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional and a spiritual standpoint. You know, you're concerned about how each other is doing. Not just, hi, how you doing, but how are you doing? You know, that's I sense that and I observe that about you guys here, so I want to encourage you to keep doing that, to keep doing that. So as you're building up the name, and not the name Bristol Bible Chapel, but we're talking about the name of the Lord Jesus. It's something bigger than that. It's bigger than Bristol Bible Chapel. It's something much bigger than that. You know, we think of that well-known verse, and we usually hear it later on in the springtime, usually around the National Day of Prayer, right? Those people who are called by my name. Those people who are called by my name and humble themselves. So as you're consciously or subconsciously building up the family name, when you interact, does it ever cross your mind, wait, is this part of the plan? Is my response to a situation going to build up or is it going to tear down? Is it going to make other family members look good or is it going to cause them to look bad or to cause them some shame or pain or discomfort? Perhaps if John Wilkes Booth had thought through his action, he might have left a different impression on the Booth name. So, thinking about the plan, are we aware of where we are going and how we're going to get there? Another thought with this idea of the plan is, whose plan am I following? Whose plan am I following? Am I following my plan? It's after all, I know best. Just ask me. I'll be glad to tell you. Am I following my plan? Or am I following God's plan? And you notice I kind of bypassed some other levels of accountability and leadership. But am I following God's plan? And I'll tell you this, just in the fact that Scripture bears this out, is that God cannot be divided. God cannot be divided. If you're bent on following your plan better be God's plan. Because one of you is not going to be correct. And I don't know about you, but my Bible says God is never wrong. God's plan is always right. So whose plan am I following? Whose plan am I following? Well, let's go on. You know, in building the family name, the plan is to pay attention, but there's also the process. And in building the family name, the process does have its advantages. The process does have its advantages. And look here in verse 2. Solomon says, "For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Solomon here is talking about this idea of quality and quantity and abundance. So quality and quantity and this positive idea of quantity in abundance. He says that, first of all, the length of days. And this can relate directly to your health. And please don't get this idea. If I just do what God says, I'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. God does not promise that. God does not promise that. There are some who feel that Scripture can speak to that. Be very careful. When Solomon here says the length of days, he's talking about health. And we like to think that perhaps not so much the physical health, but perhaps emotional and even more importantly, spiritual health. Spiritual health. What condition do you find yourself in as you are building the family name? It's a proven fact that a large percentage of individuals go to work ill. They go to work sick. You just have to because you might not have sick days. You might not have that luxury of being able to take time off when you've just got a sniffle or just a little cough. My wife and I are taking a course in food safety, and it's amazing. It's amazing the things that enter into one's food just because of the health or lack of it of that particular food worker. I'm scared to eat out anymore, I'll tell you. Just, I know too much now, right? Before, just no big deal. So building the family name, are we healthy when we're doing that? Are we healthy in carrying out that process? We know what the plan is, God's plan, and really the bottom line for the plan is the glory of God, so that God looks good. They will know we are Christians by our love, right? It's kind of just that simple. That's the plan. But the process, the method, how we carry that out, am I healthy in doing that? Am I healthy? Am I in a good spiritual place? And if I'm not in a good spiritual place, why is that? What's distracting me from having length of days? What's a barrier that's keeping me from carrying out that job that God has given me to do? So Solomon here is talking about the quality of one's health. He says, you know, if you don't let go of the method, the teaching, and you hold on to the commandments, then you will have good spiritual health. And then he says here, the next thing he talks about is the quantity. He talks about long life. There is a commandment that comes with a promise, right? There is a commandment that comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. It's this idea of respect. And for those of you who are still privileged to have your parents, this idea of honoring your father and mother doesn't end when they pass, when they die. The idea of honoring your father and mother goes on until you die. This idea of honoring your father and mother is something that we need to do because that's what God says we should do. It's holding on to the teaching, holding on to the commandment. And then finally here in this part of the process, Solomon says that peace will be added to your life. It's interesting, this word peace, that's really where Solomon got his name. The original word for peace in the Hebrew is part of Solomon's name. And peace, it doesn't mean the absence of war. That's really not what this idea of peace here in context is. It's talking about this idea of abundance. It's talking about this idea of abundance. And a nice thought about peace is where two pieces of cloth, let's say, were ripped apart, and now they've been joined back together, and they've been sewn together, and that seam becomes really perhaps invisible and just as strong as the surrounding fabric. So if we, and part of the process in building the family name, we realize that in order for us to have peace, we need to join ourselves with God, or allow ourselves to be joined with God, and do things His way. To do things His way, and not off kind of freelancing, doing our own thing. So in building the family name, the process does have its advantages. So we've talked about the plan, in building the family name. We've talked about the process of building the family name, that, you know, that idea of having good spiritual health. And now let's talk about the products that we use in building the family name. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. In the King James, you'll have that word mercy, which I kind of like a little better. But do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. In building the family name, the products that we use are going to be inner and outer adornment. Inner and outer adornment. I came across this a little while ago, but if you were to take that word mercy, and for those of you who are taking notes, you can leave yourself a little bit of space around the word mercy, but write the word mercy out. You know, just all capitals, because it'll be helpful. Write the word mercy. And now, in our verse here, we have the word truth. And by the way, this only works in English. So if you're writing in a different language, it's not going to work, that I know, anyway. Now, if you take the word truth and write above the letter R in mercy, start the word truth, and you'll go T-R-U-T-H. And lo and behold, you'll have a cross there. Mercy and truth. And Solomon here says that these are two products that we want to use in building the family name. These are two products that we want to use in building the family name. And he says here that you want to bind them around your neck like a necklace. You know, it's this idea of a necklace, a piece of jewelry. Binding them around your neck. And that's the outer part. That's what people can see. But then he also says that mercy and truth need to be written on our hearts. That's the inner part. That's what you can't see. Mercy and truth, wearing them like a necklace, but then also having them written on your heart. Really engraved. Almost like a tattoo. You know, an indelible impression on your heart. Because remember, back in the day when Solomon wrote this, this was before, you know, laser jet, inkjet. It was before IBM Selectric. You know, when they wrote things, they did have scrolls, yes, and they were done with ink, but they would also write things on pieces of clay or stone, and they would engrave them. You know, it would be an impression made into the piece. The opposite of Braille. You know, when you see, you'll see little signs next to maybe elevators or things in buildings, and they'll have these raised bumps. It's the opposite of that. It's an impression. So Solomon says, you know, let these things make an impression on your heart. These products in building the family name need to make an impression on your heart. So what is mercy and what is truth? Well, mercy is this idea of goodness shown to those who are in misery or distress. Mercy is goodness shown to those who are in misery or distress. It's similar to, but much different from, grace. We hear grace a lot. We also hear mercy a lot. Grace is goodness given to those who deserve punishment. But mercy is different. Mercy is goodness shown to those who are in misery or distress. And one of the great mental pictures I have of this idea of mercy is some of you have seen movies, you know, older movies in black and white, perhaps even without sound, okay? And you see the heroine of the movie, you know, the female star, the female actress. And she's tied up and she's laid on a train track and there's a train coming towards her. And the hero comes in to save the day, right? To rescue the woman from imminent danger. She's in distress. She's in misery. She's about ready to get run over by a train. But the hero comes in, scoops her up, and they ride off happily ever after into the sunset, right? Well, that's that idea of mercy. Is goodness shown to those who are in misery or distress? So in building the family name, am I consciously about the process of looking out for those who are in misery and distress? Specifically those within the family, but also those outside the family who could be brought in to the family. So Solomon says here that we need to be about the business of building the family name by looking out for those who are in misery and distress. Positively responding. It's not just enough to see them, but we need to do something about that. We need to be compelled to action. And then there's a second part here. He says that we need to be aware of truth. We need to be aware of truth. We need to take that goodness and that truth and put them around our neck. And this idea of truth is really, the original tells us, the idea of stability. Stability, that which is established, that which is firm. Please understand this. Truth is not relative. You need to understand that. Truth does not change based on the situation. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. And God's word is truth. So in this idea of building the family name, the products that we use are mercy and truth. There's this great temptation to be all about the truth at the expense of mercy. You know, when we see someone in misery or distress, we want to just hit them with the truth. You're in misery or distress because there's unconfessed sin in your life, or there's some activity that you're involved in that you need to get rid of, or you're in some relationship that is just, you know, causing you to be punished by God. Be careful with that. We got to really be careful with that. We can't exercise truth at the expense of mercy. Please hear that. We can't exercise truth at the expense of mercy. There are times where we'll need to say hard things. Difficult things will need to be shared. The truth of God will need to be brought forth in a person's life. But we need to do that with mercy. We need to do that with mercy. Back to this idea of mercy and truth kind of in the form of a cross. And, you know, that's a popular item of jewelry, right? The wearing of the cross. This past week at work, I saw a guy that I work with had this really large gold cross around his neck. And okay, I'm judging. I confess, I do. I'm judging. But he's not a believer. He believes in God, but doesn't have a relationship with God. And it just, all I could see was that cross. I couldn't see him. All I could see was that cross. And as I thought about that, I thought, that should really be my life, shouldn't it? People should be seeing Jesus and not me. That was really convicting for me. You know, what are people seeing? Are people seeing the truth? Are they seeing mercy? Are they seeing mercy and not so much truth? Are they seeing a whole lot of truth and just a little bit of mercy? There needs to be that balance as we are building the family name. In building the family name, we have that outer adornment, that idea of mercy and truth. Those actions, people see what we do. They see who we are. But then there's also that inner adornment, that engraving on our hearts, that mercy and truth. The heart, you know, that's the center of our emotions, of our affections, of our passions, our desires. That's where the heart is. And the heart then, you know, allows those things that to come out, those emotions, those desires, those feelings to come out. And it's how we conduct ourselves in building the family name that God is concerned about. In building the family name, we need to use mercy and truth. Well, time is kind of slipping away, so let's go to our last verse here. So we've talked about the plan. We've talked about the plan, that it's God's plan. You know, it's God's idea. It's not our idea, it's God's idea in building the family name. We've talked about the process. How do we do that? You know, are we spiritually healthy? And if we're not, what are we doing about it? Are we just moaning and groaning? And, you know, again, something from my own life. I'll get a headache occasionally. And the first thing my wife says is, well, did you take something? It's okay that you have a headache. It's okay that you're in pain. Well, it's not okay, but are you doing something about it? Don't just moan and groan and be irritable and all the rest. Do something about it. Did you take something? I love that about her. And, you know, so now when I get a headache, I'm pretty sure that any time I say, yeah, this is bothering me, she's going to say, well, did you take something? So as a believer in this process, if you're not spiritually healthy, if you feel like you're struggling, you feel like, you know, your prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing down, if you're really, you know, oh, man, it's just such a hassle to even open the daily bread, never mind the Bible. Are you doing something about it? Talk to somebody. There's a room full of people who care about you. If you feel dry, just maybe even burned out, you just want to lay on the couch in an afghan and just watch TV spiritually. Get off the couch. There's work to do. Are you doing something about it? Sorry, that was a side road, but important nonetheless. So we got the plan, we got the process, and then we talked about the products. You know, we talked about that inner and outer adornment, mercy and truth. Well, now let's talk about the inspection. In building the family name, inspection leads to approval. Inspection leads to approval. Solomon says here, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Solomon here is really talking about this idea of character and conduct. Character and conduct. So you will find favor. You will find favor. And that really has to do with our character. And this word favor is we trace it back to the original of that word graciousness. That word graciousness. We talked about mercy before. Now let's talk just a little bit about graciousness. You will find favor. And remember we said that that's goodness to those who deserve punishment. Goodness to those who deserve punishment. So we will find graciousness. We will find graciousness, and that will be shared with us by other family members. that graciousness we will find from other family members. But most importantly, and who's the first person of which we will find favor? It's God, right? So you will find favor, skip this middle part, in the sight of God. Finding grace in the sight of God. How wonderful is that? Because in God's sight, you know, there's no good thing in me. There's nothing good about me. But the beautiful thing about being in the family, is that when God looks at me, God looks at you, he doesn't see us necessarily. He does see us as individuals, true. But he sees his son. When God looks at us, he sees his son. That's grace. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve to be seen as his son. We deserve punishment. We deserve punishment. But we find favor with God. We find favor with God. So that's the character. And then the second thing here is that of conduct. And that's this idea of good repute. This idea of good repute. And it's really this idea of success. This idea of success. Solomon says here that you will find good repute in the sight of God. When we talk about success, from a worldly perspective, it's all about results, right? Our supervisor at work wants to know what we have done in the past day, in the past hour, whatever it is, however you're held accountable. We all have some level of accountability. What have you done? How have you used your time? It's results. Have you put 14 widgets together? Or have you completed the tasks that I've asked you? Have you filled out these forms? Have you done this paperwork? Have you sold 14 widgets? Have you, you know, whatever it is. And whether we're paid for our work or whether we're going to school, which is still our work, have you studied for that test? Have you prepared your quiz? Have you done your homework? Yeah, those are just not good. But the world in success, it's gauged by results. What have you done? But with God, success is different. In God's economy, if we could use that word, it's very different. It's just a different mindset altogether. God does not view success by results. God views success by obedience. God views success by obedience. By obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I was going to give you an illustration, but we got to move on. Sorry. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So in building the family name, inspection leads to approval. You know, when we're ready to release the product, whether it's the house for occupancy or whether it's an article of clothing to be worn or whether it's a meal to be eaten or whether it's homework to be turned in, we want to check it over. We want to inspect it. And Solomon here says that in this verse 4, you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You know, there's a twofold thing here. In the sight of God, you'll find the graciousness. And in the sight of God, you'll be successful. And it really comes down to obedience. It's sticking to the plan that God has laid out. It's proceeding with the plan the way God would want us to proceed. It's using the products that God has given to us. Building the family name, the inspection leads to approval. Well, this morning we started talking about this individual named Edwin. Remember this actor who was perhaps the Denzel Washington of the 1860s, right? And Edwin had this brother John who brought shame to the family by his one act of brutality. Edwin struggled with this stain, this blot on the family name. And it's unfortunate that he struggled with that and really couldn't get past it. You see, several years before President Lincoln was assassinated by Edwin's brother John, Edwin was sort of a hero. You see, Edwin was outside New York City waiting for a train to take him to the next show where he would be performing. And the train was pulling into the station and had come to a stop, but the train had lurched forward. And Edwin happened to look down and see a young boy had fallen and was kind of on the tracks. And Edwin, in this quick, heroic movement, kind of hooked his leg around the handrail, reached down in peril to his own life, reached out and grabbed this young boy and pulled him to safety, just as the train had moved and would have surely crushed the young boy. Well, the young boy, very shaken by the episode, Edwin himself, too, was a little unnerved by what had just gone on. The young boy calmed down, and mother came over, and Edwin said, "Young man, what's your name?" He said, "It's Robert." "Well, that's a fine name." The young boy said, "My name's Robert, Robert Todd." "What's your last name, son?" "Lincoln." Robert Todd Lincoln. Edwin had just saved the life of Abraham Lincoln's son. Several years later, Edwin's brother John would take the life of that young boy's the father of that young boy. Two very different paths that these brothers were on. Both of them, by their actions, had affected the family name. One had chosen to promote the family, to bring honor, to bring distinction to the family. The other brother had brought shame to the family. One of them was about building the family name, the other was about destroying the family name. As we go about our lives, as we are part of the family of God, which one are we? Are we building the family name? Are we tearing it down? By what we say, by what we do, by how we respond. I trust this morning that you would think about the plan of building the family name. You think about the process. Think about the products used so that when your work is inspected, you'll find favor, you'll find graciousness, and you'll find success in the sight of God. So please, let's be ones who are building up the family name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your perfect Holy Word. Thank you for who you are as you reveal yourself to us, as you are perfect, as you are holy, as you are truth. Father, we readily admit that we are weak and we are frail, We desire to build up the family name. Please, please, Father, give us the strength to do so. You are so good. You are so gracious. You are so merciful. You are so very God. Father, we thank you and we do love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.